Welcome to the Sunday, July 24th, 2016 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. Quote, "So far, we have not met with any plausible reason why only a genuine and fully qualified philosopher would be a proficient and successful political breeder." Haven't we suspected this, is my comment, felt it, that this fascist intent lay behind politics? And when they took Nicola's work, didn't we know what they would do with it? Didn't we know they were making weapons of death to be used against us? Haven't we known, really, that their obsession is to eliminate all who stand in their way, and that this means the disobedient? Haven't they stayed hidden only because we've been afraid to look, just as we've been afraid to look too hard at our parents? Continuing, "And yet, as every breeder of dogs or horses or birds knows, rational breeding is impossible without a pattern, an aim to guide him in his efforts, an ideal which he may try to approach by the methods of mating and of selecting. Without such a standard, he could never decide which offspring is good enough. He could never speak of the difference between good offspring and bad offspring. But this standard corresponds exactly to a Platonic ideal of the race which he intends to breed. Just as only the true philosopher, the dialectician, can see, according to Plato, the divine original of the city, so it is only the dialectician who can see that other divine original, the form or idea of man." And that's Karl Popper speaking from the Open Society and its enemies, the spell of Plato. And he's careful to clarify when he discusses this part that by the idea of man, Plato was not thinking of humanity. No, he was thinking of the pattern, the idea, to which the actual physical human must forever strive. Must ever strive to attain, to reproduce in themselves as best they can this ideal. We've called this ever strivingness, and it's a similar dynamic to greed, lust, underlying which is this deep belief that one is not good enough. Proudhon says that man must live in one of two states, either in society or out of it. In society, conditions are necessarily equal, except in the degree of esteem and consideration which each one may receive. And we're going to be talking about both of these issues today. Do we want to live in society, as Proudhon defines it for us? And do we see the fascist intent hidden in a global system of class? We've been arguing that we have to know what we're up against to fight it with effectiveness, with determination. That we have to see power authentically, which is also seeing its strategies, which is also seeing its motivations, which is also seeing its goal, i.e., we have to see from the vantage of the whole. And we've been arguing that though the actual humans we've been calling power, the global state statesmen, Plato's tribesmen, are a minuscule number, they've been supremely effective because they have a vision of the world they want. Now that's a discussion you will not hear in the airwaves that is allowed to reach significant numbers of people. And that they've been supremely effective because they have an accurate picture, power does, the Plato's tribesmen. They have an accurate picture of what furthers it and what doesn't. This goes back to, again, their consciously utilizing the political strategies and playbook of Plato and the notion that you have to have an original to which the reality that you're shaping is molded. And as Popper says, whether that reality is the Republic or whether that reality is that little child entrusted to you by the earth that you have taken as raw material to realize your father's vision. That is to say, these power guys are conscious in their actions. They know that in order to rule by fear and breeding, which is their underlying MO, never spoken, the whole world must be totalitarian, no escape. And they work in concert to realize that vision. There's a blog I put up a while back called Bentham's Strategic Verities. And whether your strategy is to realize a world based in non-coercion and good fellowship and abundance and the, or whether your vision is Plato's Republic, you have to have a vision and you have to work in concert. You have to act with consciousness in order to achieve that vision. So this has been their formula for making our global society intentionally totalitarian. It means that they have sculpted the world such that their supremacy can be seen from any angle of it. And it means that their actions, motivations, intents, and stratagems all manifest this totalitarianism called the global class system. They are interdeducible, as Proudhon puts it. And it means that from any one angle of it, the others may be arrived at inductively, because what motivates them is the goal of perfection, made manifest in their minds by winning, in the simplistic sense of survival, while being able to cause all others to die, i.e., to possess the power of life and death over all of us. To accomplish this, given their tiny numbers, means they are obsessed with management and with having supreme weapons. I will have to add to that. Could it be more clear, the strategy of global power right now, from what we're seeing, that they are hurting, ranking, dividing, demoralizing, all a version of divide and conquer. And of course, with repression of and suppression of news about any authentic response to it from us. So in France, we're told there is anger at the government. But if there's any reply that goes beyond this, to the horrendous, calculated acts of terror directed at us from the hidden global statesmen, we're not told of it. Could it be more clear that we're seeing techniques of control? Old techniques, by the way. And I'm encouraging folks to check out again. I will repeat this encouragement. The readings we did of Savage Continent, which show very clearly that this MO is what they go back to over and over and over. Demoralization, stirring us against each other. Violence. I think we are at the moment when we are ready to believe in ourselves and recognize that what we are being presented with as reality is a crafted presentation, and that we're going to have to reach out to each other to find the truth, which is, as we'll also be saying in a minute, as we remember the Paris Commune of 1871, that we are good at heart, and that we discover this when we reach out to each other. So in France, we're told there's anger at the government, but we're not told about Nuit Debout. Could it be more clear that we are seeing techniques of control necessitated by their tiny numbers? And only they have the accumulated means, our blood and love manifested, to realize such malevolent intent. We have to acknowledge this with each other, that this crafted, coordinated campaign of disheartening us, coordinated campaign of dispiriting us, requires a massive bank account, requires massive accumulated means. That alone should tell us the coordination of it, that we're looking at the power guys desperate to keep their dream of being gods alive. So how do we get an accurate picture of our true sentiments, our degree of consciousness, when all we're shown is power's back, power's mask, false folks for hands, and for fall guys when it's time to eliminate them? They should not forget what happened to the guards at Auschwitz when the order came down, when it all came crashing around the heads of the Nazis. Of course, the big guys get out, like Mengele, but not the guards. No, they either ran for their lives and then waited to be herded up and hanged. How do we see us, the full scope of our humanness, our beliefs and longings and degree of solidarity? How do we learn the extent to which we share a commonality of conscious intents and determination commensurate with our commonality of true interests? How do we know what our sisters and brothers are saying and feeling to themselves, alone, and within their state boxes, when what we're given is carefully censored of all that would feed our hope for a world premised on the abundance and love we feel within ourselves?